Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and I am a multi-passionate entrepreneur, a creative business consultant, and brand strategist, and I am your host for today's show, Business is Personal. And today, my featured leading lady is Jessica Revelis, and Jessica is a social media expert. She is the founder of J Squared Communications, and Jessica is a seasoned editor and writer, and she has over 15 years experience in marketing, and her specialty is definitely in the lane of writing and social media. And she's got a ton of experience in advertising and digital publishing across numerous disciplines, which is great for all of us since we all come from a very diverse area of work. And she's meticulous, she's strategic, she's organized, and she is a dear friend of mine. And I'm so thrilled to have her as today's guest. So good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Shawn Marie. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Thank you so much for being on the show. This is such an important topic that we are tackling today, which is the pros, the cons, and the truth about getting social. And I just, I would love to just take a deep dive, as much as we can anyway, in a 30-minute show. But I would love to really tackle the things that you feel from your experience really matter the most in today's marketing and social media. So what I'd love to do is just kind of dive right in. And it feels, Jessica, to me, and I know to many others, it's pretty easy to get overwhelmed by the constant coming out of new forms of social media. And, I mean, originally it felt like we had Twitter and Facebook and that was it. And now we have Snapchat and we have Periscope and there's Facebook Live. And so I would just love if you could speak a little bit to, from your experience and with where you're at, even in your own business, what do you think is the most important and where is a great place to start when it comes to our social media? Like, what really matters the most?
Absolutely. You definitely hit the nail on the head that it can be extremely overwhelming, even for social media professionals, people who are in this industry, because social media, at least one of the channels, changes in some way, shape, or form pretty much on a daily basis. There's some kind of algorithm change or a new platform comes out. There's an adjustment to the current platforms. And so there's really a lot of information out there. But I think what's really important for businesses, and I work with a lot of small and medium-sized businesses, and the question is always, you know, where do I start? People think they need to be on every single platform. And I really want to dispel that idea, because it's not necessary to be on every single platform. It's too much. Mm-hmm. You want to be really, really good at what you do. So I always advocate quality over quantity. I think the most important platforms and where I start with many of my clients are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and if they're able to do it, LinkedIn as well. And I think those are kind of the big ones, the heavy hitters. For some brands, some social media channels don't necessarily make sense. So I worked, for example, with a fashion brand, and they were tanking on Twitter, and they were investing a lot of money in advertising, and yet it really that's not where their audience was. So we had to refocus, re-strategize, and figure out, okay, where is the audience truly, and where can we leverage our time, resources, and money so that it's working better for us. So we ended up really just focusing on Facebook, Instagram, and they started a Snapchat channel that was really effective for them. So I really don't think you need to be on all the channels. You really need to be good at the few things that you do really well. But Facebook definitely is the heaviest hitter. It's the largest platform on the market. So, and there's so many resources in terms of advertising and now live, like you mentioned. So I think those are the big heavy hitters for me, and definitely Facebook, I would say, is the number one.
Well, and you know, it's interesting when you were talking about the fashion company that was tanking on Twitter. I've actually struggled a little bit with Twitter. It's just, I think because I'm such a connector and I value relationships, and I just think the way that I'm wired, it's so quick moving, and for me, it doesn't seem to connect. But I would imagine for companies and even for some of our listeners that have a brand that would be similar to somebody in the fashion industry, I would think that for your fashion company, them being successful on Twitter is probably huge. Is that correct?
It really depends on the brand. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just wondering with regards to, it just seems like fashion brands and that they do really well on Twitter, so that would be a market or a platform where they would want to do really well. That's what I mean.
I think the bigger brands, absolutely. And especially, you know, Women Wear Daily, some of the bigger fashion brands, obviously the fast fashion retailers that are big players in the market. So Forever 21, Zara, H&M, all those big companies, and then even the luxury brands, so Gucci, Versace, Balmain. Definitely, Twitter is really important, especially in fashion, because you've got runway shows every season, and so there's a lot of news and trending information that pops up. And so, absolutely, I would say, and it is fast paced. So I would say yes to that for Twitter. The brand that I was working with and referencing, it was a smaller brand, and they were also fast fashion, casual wear, and a smaller brand trying to break into the social sphere.
Okay. Well, and part of the reason that I was asking that specifically is because if we as businesses, and just so you know, Jess, and we talked about this a little bit, our listeners are comprised of, you know, women that are, you know, holding down positions of leadership in corporate America, as well as being, you know, solopreneurs and entrepreneurs and small to medium business owners. So we're definitely, you know, we certainly have a wide range of listeners. So if we had to pick just one, where do you think would be the place to start? And the reason that I was asking specifically about product-based businesses or fashion-based businesses wanting to be really successful on Twitter, you know, I don't know if maybe you could break down just a few categories for us, you know, and say, hey, if this is your type of business, this would be a great place if you could only do one. Or do you feel like Facebook is the place where everybody should be?
I really do feel that way about Facebook. It's got the largest market share. So if you go on to Pew Research Center, they compile demographics data and data regarding research that's been done in recent years on how many people are actually on social media and what do they use. And so So with that being said, Facebook does take up a huge piece of the pie, and I think they're constantly pushing the envelope when it comes to innovation, and they also bought up Instagram, as we know. So they've got not only Facebook and Facebook Lives, which kind of borrowed from Periscope, right? And then they've got Instagram, which is now borrowing from kind of the idea of Snapchat. So I think they're leaders in the market, and we can look to Facebook to kind of predict what might be coming next in some regards. And I think Facebook is really the place to start. Also, too, what has been changing, especially with small business, and Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook, has said this in an interview, I think, with Entrepreneur Magazine or Inc., one of the two that I read. And she had talked about in this article earlier in the year that many small businesses are even abandoning using a website altogether. So some startups, some small businesses, some even in incubators when you're working with startups, they'll just jump right on Facebook because you really can interface with your customers in a very deep and meaningful way that sometimes you can't do on a website. So you have, you know, you have your customer service, you can message customers, you can engage with them online, obviously do your social media, track your analytics, and now in recent years they've added shop carts. So you can actually sell your products and services via Facebook, almost negating the need to have a $5,000, $10,000, $50,000 website.
That's amazing, Jessica. I personally I can't imagine not having a website, but just knowing that we are potentially moving in that direction, that's really powerful. And I think going back to what you're saying, it really speaks to the power of being on Facebook and why doing it well, going back to what you said about quality, I think is really essential. And that kind of leads me into another question that I wanted to ask you, which is, you know, what do you find quality-wise and effectiveness-wise makes the most sense when it comes to posting, quotes or videos or is it really important to get personal? For this show, it's business is personal. So, mm-hmm. you know, clearly that's something that I'm certainly a champion for. So, I would love if you could share with us some tips on, like, how do we do this effectively and how do we do it really well?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I would say two things to that. Video, and blogging, hands down. So we're in a world where content is king, and it's been that way for quite some time, but not so much, it's not so much about content is king and everybody's got to put out all this content, but it is the quality that matters. And Google has shown us in the last year and a half that they're prioritizing increasingly so quality, relevant and timely content. It's really, really important. So you won't get ranked if you're just regurgitating information that everyone else is putting out there, if your information is not relevant to your specific audience and you haven't done that marketing strategy and plan so that you know your demographic and you know how to serve them with customized content. So Google is prioritizing custom content. Facebook is definitely prioritizing, as we see, video. And then, of course, you have YouTube, which is, I believe, the largest search engine or second to largest next to Google. It's in the top two. So I think creating great content that sings and sells is really important. So you can do that with a blog where you are going into a deeper dive into whatever your topic is that's relevant to your demo. But then SEO is really important with that as well. And SEO has changed in the last 5 to 10 years. And so, again, it's not so much about keyword stuffing, which was the beginning of SEO maybe 10 years ago, but it's really about strategically integrating keywords that make sense to your content throughout the article. And there's a formula to do that, which we can get into that topic much more in detail at a later time. And then with video, it's really kind of the next wave of the future, right? And we're seeing that where Facebook has continually, I would say over the last, it's probably been a year to 2 years, has continually prioritize video in terms of, you know, first we're able to add links to YouTube on our Facebook. Now we can, when you scroll through your feed, videos pop up automatically, they start playing. Most recently you have Facebook Live and you're able to broadcast from anywhere. And I think it's really great because, when Periscope came out in 2015, I think early 2015 or end of 2014, the whole idea I remember from watching kind of their advertisements on it was, empowering citizen journalism in a way. So you can be anywhere in the world and publicize, promote, tell stories, and it really is about storytelling. And then Facebook jumped on that bandwagon, obviously. But I think blogging and videos are a great way to deliver content that's meaningful, rich, interactive, and that tells a story.
Mm. That's fantastic, Jess. And, you know, it's really, it's interesting because I've definitely met people who, and I would say probably more people than not, have shared with me, especially in my line of work, that they would love to start a blog or they would love to do a video, but they don't know where to start. And they also have this feeling that, you know, there's so much content already out there that the market is already saturated. And, you know, what is, you know, their little video or their little blog or, you know, how are they going to actually effectively reach people? And I think that that's a big part of the conversation. So what would you say to people who say to you, hey, that sounds great, but the market is so saturated, you know, I would just be completely buried.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. We are saturated with content. I think something that came up that this reminds me about in a recent talk that I did at Cal State Fullerton, the Small Business Incubator or Startup Incubator, was we talked about organic reach on Facebook being at 1% now. And in 2014, it was 16% and even more before that. So, and Facebook says, you know, on their site that when you look at the business pages on Facebook and learn more about how the business side works, they talk about very candidly that eventually, you know, Facebook organic reach on Facebook will be at zero. And really, that's because there is so much content out there, and so you can't possibly, you know, you have to pay to play because they want to customize that experience for users, and you can't possibly be exposed to every piece of content for every page that you like. So there's that. But what I encourage people to do when they're trying to start their own blogs or maybe feeling lost in kind of the shuffle and all the information that's out there is, you know, find your unique voice because your perspective and experiences are individual. And no one's going to write about, you know, fashion, beauty, health, lifestyle, whatever it might be from your particular lens. Another thing that you can keep in mind is, you know, pulling research. So a lot, I'm a research nut. People who know me know that about me. And I think, you know, if you can put a spin on your article where you're also pulling, and this is good for SEO, where you're also pulling links from relevant resources that are reputable. So, you know, when I talk about leadership in posts or professional development, I pull from Inc. and Entrepreneur and Forbes and Fast Company, and I talk about statistics on that topic, and I talk about, you know, like I mentioned earlier, that interview with Sheryl Sandberg. So I'll mention other things, and that gives me not only an SEO boost, but it makes me look like more of an authority because I know what's going on in my field. So that's a really good mm-hmm. way to use a blog and customize your content is by being that thought leader, being that expert, by going that extra step of looking for research to support whatever it is you're talking about.
You know, that's so good, Jessica. And I also know that, you know, for those of us that are wired in such a way that we, you know, have these really great ideas or this really great content. And for many people, you know, they have a ton of content and they're just not sure, you know, where to put it or how to get started. So for any of our listeners who might like to connect with you, because this is really your area of brilliance, this is what you do. You help entrepreneurs and small businesses and professionals that are, you know, that really do have something that they want to say and get out into the world. So would you mind sharing with our listeners the best way that they could reach you if they want to start a conversation with you or see what it might take to start working with you?
Oh, absolutely. I love meeting new people. I do a ton of networking, and so I've got most of my portfolio online and all of everything that I do, my different areas of expertise at jessicajoyrevelis.com. So that's just my full name, Jessica Joy, and then R-E-V like victory, E-L-E-S.com. And then you can find me all over social media through clicking through on my site. But if you want to connect personally on Facebook, I definitely invite people to do that. If you just search for Jessica Joy Revelis, I'll pop up. And I've got a business page and I've got a personal page. So I'm really happy to connect with anyone who would be interested in just having a chat more about what social media means for their business today. And then also if people want to email me, they can do so at hello@jessicajoyrevelis.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. Another question that I wanted to ask you, for those who are of the do-it-yourself makeup, the people that are wired that way, that are like, you know what, I'm ready. I need a little bit of structure or strategy. How would you, or what might you suggest to them as far as going about starting social media or social media calendar or a campaign? Like, where might be a good place for them to start, which might actually be really good for them to kind of get that unearthed a little bit before they contact you. But where would be a good place for them to start as far as a calendar or their own social media campaign for the do-it-yourselfers?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So I have two solutions for that. One, I definitely use myself, Google Calendar, and I color code everything, and I have a key for it, and I just dump everything into my Google Calendar in terms of, you know, appointments, consultations, et cetera. But then what's cool about it is you can, using the color coding, you can also plug in your social media content. That's just kind of if you want to just jump right in and start to organize yourself and get into a system and a routine. What I really love that I use with my clients is a couple steps ahead of that, and that is HubSpot. So that's H-U-B-S-P-O-T, HubSpot.com. They've got some fantastic social media calendars, templates, all kinds of stuff that you can go in, and there's even for the Twitter column of this particular social media calendar template that they have on there, and all you have to do is search for it on Google or even within the site, is they've got character counts built into the Excel file, so you know exactly with Twitter, you know, for in particular, how many characters you have left to as you type your content in, and you can just input everything in there. You can even do it on Hootsuite, and I don't believe you can keep the information once it's posted in there forever, so that's the only thing I don't like about that particular solution. So that's why I think it's important to have a calendar for a team, for example, or if you want to track the history of your campaigns and what you've posted. But then to schedule them, or if you want to just jump in and get organized as you go along, Hootsuite.com is a leader, and I've used them for probably close to 10 years now, 8 years. They're a leader in social media scheduling. There's a ton of schedulers out there, but Hootsuite, I really feel, is by far the best option.
Fantastic. So that was HubSpot.com and Hootsuite.com.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. And Jessica, we've got time for just a couple more questions. And
sure.
One of the things that I did want to ask you was in regards to, you'd mentioned that, you know, Facebook is being really transparent about the fact that, you know, in the near future, that organic content, with there being so much content already on Facebook, that that organic content won't track the way that it did, you know, 5 years ago or even a year ago. So what would you say is the best way to track effectiveness or ROI for, you know, since Facebook seems to be, you know, a great place to start? Why don't we talk about Facebook specifically as far as running ads, or how do we know that our Facebook ads are actually working?
Mm-hmm. Great question. What I really love that Facebook has continued to just keep everybody on even ground in terms of, you could be a multi-million or billion-dollar company, or you could be a mom-and-pop shop just jumping on board on social media, and yes, you have to pay to play, but you could literally do an ad campaign for $1 a day. So spend, say you want to run an ad every day for a month, you're only going to spend $30 on that ad, and you get some of that piece of the pie just like everybody else. So I really feel like people can reach their audience and be kind of on even footing to a degree. Of course, the more money that you put into your advertisements and the more strategic you are about how you're using keywords or buzzwords related to your industry, of course, the better off you're going to be. But you really can do campaigns as little as $30 a month. So I think that's great about the advertisements. Another thing that I really like is that there's so much more variety now with Facebook ads than ever before. So you've got carousel ads, which are the ones where you can scroll through multiple images and look at different products, for example, or different images. And then you've got just, you know, your post ads that come in your newsfeed. You've got the sidebar ads. And slideshows and GIFs and all these different options. So you really can get pretty clever and be pretty diverse and unique out there with all the different ad types. And then to track your return on investment or your ROI, you go into Insights and all of the information is there. You can see literally down to based on gender, geographic location, interests, shopping habits, both on the platform and off the platform online. And you can pinpoint exactly who you want to target and then see the results. How many impressions did you get on that ad? So how many people actually saw it versus against how many people clicked it and clicked through to your call now or your buy now or your website. So that's all there right at your fingertips. And, you know, the platform's free. The ads do cost money, but you can really get in there and play with, you know, anywhere from $30 to $50 a month at the very least. So I really like that about Facebook is that anybody has an opportunity to go out there and promote their businesses.
Fantastic. This has been so good, Jessica. And you and I have talked about this. Like we could do an entire day, if not an entire weekend, on social media or a 6-month campaign. I mean, it just there's so much to it. But I feel like this was so good, and it really gives our listeners, I think, a great a great perspective on where to start and what really works. So I've just been absolutely thrilled to have you as my guest today. And we've got about a minute left, but my last question to you is, you know the old adage, it's business, it's not personal. Clearly, that is where I got the title for my show because I feel very differently. So my question to you is, do you think business is personal?
Oh, 100%. And I, you know, I've always had a hard time with blurring the lines and the boundaries of, how do I keep my professional life separate from my personal life? And I've just, you know, in my 30s now, this is the best time of my life, really, that I've experienced. And it's because I kind of let that old adage or that idea go and I'm also doing what I love to do. So I'm super passionate. So of course, the lines are blurred for me, and I bring my passion from my personal life into my business and vice versa. So I absolutely think that business is personal.
Fantastic. Well, Jessica, thank you again so much for being such an amazing guest today, and it was just an honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Shamari. This has been great.
Thank you. And I also want to thank our listeners absolutely for tuning in. After all, you are the reason that we're here. And I want to remind everybody that we are back here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. And we will be back again next week with another phenomenal leading lady, Eldonna Lewis Fernandez. She is the CEO of Dynamic Vision International. And she will be tackling the topic of the journey to becoming an accredited speaker. So I hope that you will tune in. And I will be back on November 7th, and I look forward to bringing you another exceptional featured guest. And until then, I wish you a life that you love, work that brings you joy, and remember that why you're doing what you're doing is what really matters, because business is personal.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.